Is he coming?
No.
He's not, okay.
If you can, yes.
A roster for everybody?
For you or for everybody?
For the guests.
Okay, for a guest, so there you go. So, let's see, this is the notice of the meeting, right? Let's see. So we only have the one agenda item, is that right?
That's it, yes, and the minutes, which we'll do later.
Call the meeting to order, so I'm calling the meeting to order, and do you want to do the minutes first?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, you have the minutes in your package, has everybody looked them over? Joe was kind enough to send them in advance.
Yep.
And if everybody approves, I will take a motion to support.
Accept the meeting.
Minutes and seconded, okay.
Yep.
So Terry made the motion, seconded. And then we have an application in front of us for design review hearing, 19.1269, 665 Commonwealth Avenue. The applicant is Jason Mahler, Boston University, the Data Science Center. The proposed work is construction of Data Science Center, a 19-story building that partially extends across the southern boundary of Bay State Road, Back Bay West Architectural Conservation District. This project includes improvements to the adjacent private alley, Granby Street, and Boston University open space at the corner of Granby and Bay State Road. And Paul or Luigi, which one?
Oh, I'll start it off.
Okay.
Let Luigi carry it from there. I'm Paul Rinaldi, Boston University. I oversee campus planning. Thank you for coming out. The weather's turned out to be magnificent Sunday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very simply, the overview, introduction, and we'll talk about the location, talk about the impact elements that extend into the local historic district, and Granby Street, which we believe has significant benefits to that district. So there's the site, 645, 665 Commonwealth Avenue. It's a surface parking lot today. 10 years ago, it was a Burger King. 40 years ago, it was a Gulf gas station and a Peter Pan diner at that location. Another view. The university owns all the abutting properties, as you probably know, with student residences abutting the property to the north. There's the location of the building in the middle of the campus on Commonwealth Avenue, across from Warren, down the street a bit from the School of Business.
The pointer doesn't work. So the building is a 19-story building.
The cursor may on the laptop.
No, but it's on Joe's.
Yeah, I don't think you can. Oops.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
There you go.
19-story building. The last occupied floor is actually floor 17. There's two levels of mechanical above. There's a 5-story podium that has classrooms and teaching space and a cafe on the ground floor and open collaborative space for the departments that are housed in the building. Going up from into the research tower is math and statistics, computer science, and the Hariri Institute. And so that's the collection of the data sciences in this location. The building has an unusual form. The tower footprint, the research tower, is only 14,000 square feet. It's 120 feet by 120 feet. But the floor plan has this spiraling, shifting move that moves floors in different directions. And what that does, it breaks up the mass of the building. It creates a density for each of the departments. It creates outdoor terraces that we hope will be a great amenity for the residents of the building. And it creates a real identity for data sciences in this crossroads of the campus. This works to change slides. Mm-hmm. And this is a view from the ComAv area. And what you'll notice is that there are different characters to different parts of the facade. There's one there are two different facades, and I'll show you that in some later slides. But where you see the kind of terracotta color, those are diagonal louvers that do sun shading. And they're at the part where the building floor plate is deep. And where you see the other facade, this kind of vertical facade, that's where there's only one bay to the core, and so we have a shallow depth. And so each part of the facade is tuned to the floor plate that it's housing in terms of the way it works for sun control and for daylight control. You'll notice that the podium is much more transparent, and that's a very deliberate move. And you'll see that the building has been deliberately set back from Comm Ave and from Granby, and that you know, principally does push the building further north, and it has that impact on the district. Just some impressions of the building from different vantages. This is a nighttime view. And here's the facade. So this is the facade that has the diagonal louvers. They're painted metal. They're 4 inches by 15 inches. They're on a 68 degree angle. And they do the job of screening the sun out and reducing our heat loads, but at the same time letting daylight in. So it allows us to have more glass and get more daylight into the building, but still control the sun. And this is the other facade. We affectionately call it the sawtooth, and it's because of the shape of the metal panel. There's a vertical strip of vision glass and then a vertical strip of this spanner material. It's painted metal again, but what we want to do with the principal surface is mirror it. And so it's a polished aluminum. And so it's going to have this interesting effect because of the shape and how, you know, it will change as you move around the building. Ground floor plan. The outline of the building is maybe a bit tough to read on the screen, but if you look at the red triangles, you see the principal entrances. The main entrance, there's two main entrances on Comm Ave, deliberately on the street. And there are two cores, one for the tower, one for the podium, and then a couple classrooms and a cafe to the west, and a loading dock to the north. And all that gray space in between is open collaborative space meant for meant for anything a student would want to do, to study, to work, to meet with people on projects. And it's really meant to be an open space. You'll see the a line that says the limit of the ACD district, and on the ground floor, a tiny 1 foot sliver of the ground floor goes into the district. But above, because of the way the building steps, the building does step over the laneway, but it never reaches the alley.
In early discussions with the BPDA, at the very first, we had the building located right at the property line on Commonwealth Avenue. With some early discussions with the agency, they asked to study pushing it back as far as we could to be in line with Sargent and then CAS. That's the kind of the original Back Bay street line, something like what, 12 feet, 14 feet above the property line. So the studies that the architects developed was to try to find the right place. The right place being defined as how much space could we give along Commonwealth Avenue and yet not cause an impact on the row houses, because we didn't want it to be so tunnel-like, so close, that we'd be having problems with preservation of the bricks and the windows and things. So this kind of balance of the north-south shift.
And the other thing in terms of the way the building is positioned and how we've developed the site, there's a mid-block passage between Sargent and our building, so that there's there's a very public way through to the alley. We're transforming the alley into a pedestrianized laneway. It'll still be open for service vehicles, but we're making sure that with paving and trees and streetlights, we're going to greatly improve that area.
And all the parking is disappearing.
And all the parking is going. There's a sloped walkway from the Comm Ave level down to the laneway, and then ways to get to the backyards of the Bay State Road townhouses. So all of the lowest floor of the townhouse can become accessible now.
Will the public have access to this ground floor, or is it
yes.
students
well,
only?
Well, it's a BU building.
Yeah,
but there's a cafe that is open to anyone.
I can go in. Anyone can
you
show
go in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what programs would be held in there to the general public, but you know the university is really going to be a very vibrant program of lectures and speakers and what have you. So this is, I mean, there is no building security here.
Yeah.
Just consistent with most of our buildings.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, did the height of the building require a variance?
So the institutional master plan shows the building's height at 225 feet. 225?
That's the current limit.
Yeah, right. 225 and 15 floors. So one of our permitting processes is to, or requirements is to amend the institutional master plan for this building height of 19 floors and 305 feet. When we did the original master plan that was a little bit more specific than the previous ones, we basically took the 350,000 square feet allowed and divided it by some number that we picked. Mm-hmm. And in the competition that eventually resulted in the selection of this team and studying the program further, the challenge for the site was we did not want to create a wall along Commonwealth Avenue. And the site is relatively shallow at only 120 feet. So it would very quickly become elongated along the avenue. So this design of 14,000 square feet per floor, it's what, 120 by 120, was really giving us the tower effect, the profile that we wanted from all views, and not present the wall to the historic district and other places.
As of right now, until you amend the institutional master plan, that the height is not
225 and 50.
It's not as of right at present. That's a question I'm just curious about the process.
So as of right is different.
The wrong term.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So without the institutional master plan amendment, we can build 225
right.
and 15 floors.
Because it was identified as a site.
Exactly.
And
in the
all
institutional
of that,
master,
in
but
the
you
the
can't build.
Master plan.
I cannot build this
without the amendment to the institutional
exactly.
master plan.
Right. Yeah, and suppose. That's the trigger that does all of the other variances that follow with it.
Yes.
The actual vote of that
correct.
Is the thing that actually is the instrument that creates all the other opportunities to fall in line.
And when the amendment process right now with the BPDA,
right.
With the hope of having that wrapped up by July.
Thank you.
And the task force met, approved the project,
correct.
And approved
yep.
the actual
the
amendment to
the
master
amendment
plan
and the design.
And the design, that's right. And which includes the height and everything else.
Yep. And you mentioned polished aluminum. That's on one facade?
So on those parts of the facade, that's the vertical sawtooth.
It's going east and
it goes
south.
On every it kind of spirals
all
around
all sides.
Yeah. And the other facade that has the diagonal louvers, it does the same thing. It goes around the entire building on different floors. So it's a kind of wrapper that keeps moving around as you go up the building.
I see.
So from, sorry, I'm just, So from the site plan, on the north side of the building, we have a small courtyard that's at the ComEd elevation. And this is a section through the podium. This is the five-story podium. We have an atrium in the podium that has this butterfly stair running through it, so that it's a very open public space. People can get up and down easily without having to use the elevators. And this shows you the grade change from ComEd to the current alley. And we use this slope walkway. You'll see it in an image coming up, how we negotiate the difference in grade and still make it accessible. And this shows how much of the building is in the district. And it starts at the fifth floor, and there's five floors, and then at the very top of the building, another four floors, including the five floors, including the mechanical levels that are in the district. And that part of the building is basically over the alley. It's not overhanging the townhouses. There's space between the two.
And that's roughly 23 feet?
And that intrusion is about 23 feet. This is just an impression of the materiality of the site development in terms of the kind of pavings we'll be looking at and the use of planning material. There's a beautiful ivy wall on the west side of the townhouses right now. We're going to do everything possible to preserve it and make sure it keeps living. On the wall of our courtyard, we're also going to grow vines so that we'll have another green wall, and we're going to have, you know, benches and places for people to sit. And there is a stormwater management system in the way the paving works and the way we collect water, and we'll use that water for, first we put the water back in the ground because it's a requirement to recharge water in the district, because all the buildings are on wood piles and you've got to keep the water in the ground. But whatever excess water there is, we're using for irrigation.
And the green wall is on which facade?
It's on the next buildings over on the row houses.
So I think so
the existing ivy wall is there.
Oh,
yeah.
At the end of the run.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yes. It'll come up in
there it is.
Just, and this is an impression of night lighting. On Granby and Calm, you know, there's the street lighting. We'll mimic that kind of street lighting in the alley so that there are pole lights in the pedestrian, you know, the laneways, so that it will feel like a street. And then the lighting in the grove and the courtyard and other areas will be softer and more to just get general security lighting, but not really bright light.
So in the upper left-hand corner, where the grove is today, that's an open green space. The design for that really goes back to when it was a parking lot. Somebody decided to plant grass there, so they just ripped up the asphalt, planted the grass, and wherever it died, that's where the path was. The solution here is to be much more thoughtful.
Green space, yeah.
Yeah, same yeah. Green space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, the same section with night lighting to show the effects. Again, just some impressions of materials and green in terms of how we'll compose the site development. So some views of the building. This, we're on Comm Ave at the east entrance, looking down the avenue, and you're looking at one of the principal entrances. Straight through on the ground floor, you're looking at a classroom. We have a folding partition that lifts one wall so that the classroom can be open to the ground floor, so it can actually be this open when people want to. This is the passage between Sargent and our building towards the laneway, so we'll see how the laneway is going to become much more open and accessible because
of this
connection.
And you're on Calm looking through to Bay
right.
State Road this
yeah,
way.
Correct.
Yeah.
And to the right is going to be a bike enclosure. A covered bike enclosure, so there's parking for, I think right there was 70 or 80 bikes.
Right behind that fence, you can
yeah.
see the right.
I think it's 62, plus or minus 62
yeah.
stations, but then that's doubled for the number of bikes.
Right.
So it's like 120.
And now we're at at the west end, we're on Comm Ave and we're looking north to the river, and you're seeing through the glass the cafe, and further north the Grove and the townhouses. And this is something that we hope people will actually read, is that you can see the ivy wall through the building right there. Mm-hmm. And the wall of our core with the elevators and stairs is in line with that wall.
Nice.
And so with the glazing that we're going to do on the ground floor, and that's very, very transparent, what we're hoping for is that when you come to this space, you're going to feel like the cafe and the ground floor is part of this kind of bigger open public space that goes to the Grove. So the existing laneway and the limit of the district, and a slight transformation. So here you can see the...
can't make you keep pointing, Joe.
Here's the level of Comm Ave and the passage through from Comm Ave between Sarge and the building. And that's this sort of walkway that gets you to the alley level. And that's what makes it this all accessible. And then from there you can walk to the back of the townhouses.
And you back with the red line, the district, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah,
on the
yeah.
left-hand side.
Now, I'm not going to claim that that's a perfect
rendition. No, but
rendition.
That's basically...
But it's pretty close. And you can see how the building does overhang the alley, but there's still this large space and open to the sky.
And a much improved.
And then looking the
space
other way,
between.
Towards Silver, and again the transformation. So you can see that there's a slope walkway to get you down to the laneway, and also steps up to the courtyard.
Really, where the project extends into the district,
mm-hmm.
is foot and a half below this level, and above is the cantilevered sections
of the tower.
Right.
And it's only the tower piece, because mm-hmm. the base is all back
yeah.
Creating
yeah.
this large plaza.
Right.
And if I understood it correctly, that foot and a half is just that slice, that wedge.
Mm-hmm. That wedge
of the building.
Right. Yes, and it goes to, it is that
it's
wall.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's basically because the alley and Comm Ave don't line up.
Yeah.
They're just on that slight angle.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, so we're in the alley and we're looking towards Comm Ave, and there's the atrium and the butterfly stair. To the right is a blackboard wall, because we would like to see this outdoor space work as an outdoor classroom when the weather is good. And this is the courtyard beside the alley and the green wall that we will create on the courtyard. Now we get to the Grove, where there are a couple of trees that are there now. They've been checked with an arborist. They're not in good health, and so it doesn't make sense to try to save them. Better to replace them now. So we're planting about a dozen trees. Our landscape architect is Skip Burke, and he would like to use some flowering trees, whether it's cherries or magnolias, something that would create a great effect in the spring. And this is the current open space. There's a couple of benches that about four people in total could sit in, and what we hope to do is make much more open space, still a lot of greenery. There's the existing ivy wall in the background on the west side of the townhouses, and to make green space and sitting space and space where people can actually talk to each other when they're sitting there. And here's another view of that.
So the Granby Street piece will be the cafe and then this Grove.
Yeah.
So it'll be a beautiful sidewalk
beautiful.
Experience all
yeah.
the way from Commonwealth Ave to Bay State Road.
And
yeah.
and the other thing is that because of the redevelopment of Granby,
mm-hmm.
We get a wider sidewalk,
right.
we get a planting strip on Granby and a row of trees on Granby that doesn't exist right now.
Right, which is wonderful.
Right now, it's just a little 5-foot sidewalk.
Right.
And Skip is doing the whole layout.
He's part of the entire project.
And this whole site development.
That's giving help to the district.
Yeah, and this whole site development is, you know, is included in the building project. It's not a kind of discretionary thing that's going to happen. So now we get to Granby. Do you want to explain this?
Sure. So today you all know that Granby Street is two lanes, southbound only, towards Commonwealth. In flanking the two travel lanes are parking, parking lanes. It's been our proposal, to change Granby Street to allow for both north and south traffic in flanking those travel lanes with bike lanes. It's our belief that the important reason for this is that allowing northbound traffic here will allow for the ease of deliveries to the project, but also to those places behind CAS. Right now, if you need to go behind CAS in the law school, you have to get on Bay State Road either at Silver, Deerfield, Raleigh, and you have to go through the district. By allowing northbound traffic here, it's easier for vehicles either to the parking lot or for service vehicles to just go northbound on Granby, take a left, George D. Hotway / Bay State, and do that service. So we think it's going to have a positive effect by reducing kind of ordinary delivery traffic, ordinary activity that would be otherwise or today going behind CAS. Still working with the city on some fine points about bike lanes, but this is the general idea we're trying to work for.
And I attended the Bay State Road Neighborhood Association meeting, and Paul made this presentation last evening, just to get a sense from the community as to what their feelings were, and they were really thrilled with the fact that this would take traffic off of Bay State Road and allow for the deliveries to be on Granby or on any of these streets that would then just be to the laneway, to the alleys behind. So
we're so happy.
They saw that as a huge benefit.
So happy with what happened down at Miles.
Yes.
You know, with that curb extension.
Right.
And how that.
Because now there's
reduced.
That bump out before you get into the district now.
When
so
you get
the sidewalk bumps
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great
Miles damage.
At Miles. Yeah,
Miles.
We
reviewed with you some years
ago. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Before construction, right?
Right.
Yeah, it was a great collaboration with the city and Boston Transportation Department on that. Again, rave reviews from
everybody,
folks, really, just in terms of vehicle speed and, quite frankly, people utilizing Bay State as a cut-through where it kind of keeps people
from doing that
unless they really need to get down there.
Right. So this added to that, I mean, the community was really thrilled because the deliveries now have no reason to go down there.
Exactly.
Where will the deliveries into this building, the new building?
So the deliveries to this building will be.
I think you just went too fast.
Ran out of steam.
There it is.
So this is the loading dock. Mm-hmm. There's space for a trash compactor that'll be inside the loading dock, and a small bay for small trucks. So deliveries would be to that door.
Coming in off of the
There's a route through the back to a back door of an elevator, so we have direct access from the frame, from the loading dock to an elevator.
So opportunity is from Silver to the building, taking a right on Granby to CAS, Law School, or from Commonwealth Avenue down Granby and
right
taking a
right,
right into the project zone. And even to Sargent.
Right.
You know, the reliance is no longer on Silver Way.
Or Bay State Road.
Or Bay State Road.
Right.
And and here you see the difference in terms of just a bare sidewalk, parking lanes, and the two lanes transformed to a bike lane, traffic going south, traffic going north, another bike lane, and the ability, because of the narrowing of the street and this building setback, that we can get a row, a planter, a row of trees along Granby. And this is being fine-tuned with transportation right now in terms of...
We're working with the transportation department currently on trying to figure out the best configuration for this in particular. You know, one of the worries was that painted lane, that it might result in folks really kind of utilizing that as a, as kind of a pullover area of sorts. So we're still working out the kinks with BTD, but I think we've...
But BTD is they're on board with the two bike lanes.
Correct, yeah.
The south traffic.
Yeah. We see a lot of cycle traffic going both ways, quite frankly, on Granby Street at this time, as well as Bay State Road. So, you know, it gives people an option to be able to make their way to the river in particular as well.
How will Granby Street be paved?
Traditionally,
yeah.
Tarmac? Please? Bituminous.
Bituminous, yep.
And again, so this is a view from Granby and Bay State, looking at the building and the grove. And then we took a couple of views from different vantages along Bay State Road. Most of the views we took, we couldn't see the building. But there are just a couple of places where you can see the building. The trees basically limit your ability to see the building from different vantages. So these are the couple of places that we took that we felt were representative of what you will see from the district. But most of the times, you're just going to see the trees, you won't see the building itself. And then just a view from across the river.
I also want to mention kind of a key feature here is the building's sustainability. We presented to the commission, I think about 5 or 6 weeks ago, kind of an advisory or preview of this. And we were targeting LEED Gold. We are now past that, and we're targeting LEED Platinum. And we think we've got enough of a buffer,
that's
so
fantastic.
We're going to achieve it.
That's great.
Yeah. We're doing it because this is the first significant building the university has built since the climate action plan was passed and approved by the trustees. If we don't take the big bite on these new buildings, you know, then we're not going to be successful in that. The team has really worked diligently to look at geothermal energy to support this building, solar panels, as well as wind. On the geothermal, we have just completed, probably a couple weeks ago, three test wells to see if we can get the thermal conductivity from those wells. We can. We are, as part of the project, there'll be 31 wells going down 1,500 feet to give us the load, to satisfy the load requirements. On the wind, the university, I think back in January or late fall, signed a power purchase agreement with a firm in South Dakota for a wind farm. So they'll generate wind, use it out there where the heavy reliance on the carbon fuel and through credits, we're able to use electricity here. And the sustainability team at the university has for several years now looked at what buildings, what locations can we install solar panels. Part of that kind of campus-wide view, some of the panels that we're going to install can be directed to, in an administrative sense, to this building. So we are going to be providing the heating, cooling, and electricity for this building from wind, from solar, and from geothermal uses. We talked about groundwater recharge, that's standard, but this is going to have, as Luigi said, it's not only just accepting the drainage, but being able to use it for irrigation. We've done that on a couple of other projects on campus, so we know it works.
Is there any plan, I mean, it's a great story, is there any plan to tell any of this with didactic information, either outside or inside the building? Any kind of exhibit or display or something?
Well, that's in discussion, but, you know, definitely Dennis Carlerk, who's the director of sustainability.
Associate VP.
Associate VP, he's very much interested in wanting to make sure the story is told and is available. So there, it'll happen.
You should toot its horn.
And the task force received a whole demonstration of all of this. I mean, there was an in-depth meeting just about this, you know, so that people could understand how it all related with the design, the materials, the missions and ambitions of the building.
People should know about it.
Yes, it's an amazing story.
We received a ton of positive feedback at our scoping session with the agency just last week, and I think one of the better lines from our sustainability folks is that when this building is built, it's really going to be hard for any developer to be coming to the city saying, we can't really do this because, you know, we're doing it.
You've set the standard, right?
We're really setting the standard with something like this. Again, the footprint is challenging, there's a lot of challenges with this, but we're still able to get to that platinum level with something like this. So it really gives the city, quite frankly, a chip to say, you know, it can happen.
Take
another look, or take, you know, take another gander.
And even the very creative design of the building with the facade and the fins are all contributing to the sustainability, because we're managing the loads.
The heat, the light, and all that stuff, which was fascinating.
And the last piece of the puzzle is that we're also doing fossil fuel free, no gas. So there, you know, there are peak loads that are difficult to cover with the geothermal system. And so we have electric boilers and electric chillers to take the little bits that you get, you know, the just the little bits to cover the peaks. And the university has chosen to do that electrically. So the PV farm and the wind farm support that. And we don't burn fossil fuels to take care of the building in the winter. So that's another step forward, too.
Well, again, as Boston residents, you really need to put that out there. Right?
Yeah.
You know, we should all know about it, because it's above and beyond, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so.
It's exciting, it really is.
Yeah.
And then,
So thank you. And we have submitted our project notification, I'm sorry, the project impact report. The comment period ends on June 29th. We expect, we're hoping to have a BPDA vote on the 11th, following the Civic Design Commission's approval. Sequence of the Zoning Commission that allows us to change the institutional master plan and allow for this building, and then starting construction in March of 2020. The geothermal wells, which I indicated, were in test mode over the last 4 months. Hope to go into production in July, mid-July. 31. They'll be in the Grove, they'll be in the alley zone, and in the plaza just north of our building,
and
in the raised plaza.
And four wells under the podium.
Under the podium.
Yeah.
Amazing. So then, Joe, now do you want me to read the staff comments?
Sure, you
now?
Can. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So the staff comments were the staff notes that 665 Commonwealth Avenue is located at the corner of Granby Street and Commonwealth Avenue and is currently an open parking lot. The commission conducted an advisory review of the project on May 14th and expressed support of the project and the improvements that will be made to the alley in Granby Street. So according to the staff, now they recommend approval, because their finding is that the overhang of the building into the district is minimal and necessary to allow an appropriate setback of the building from Commonwealth Avenue. The improvements to Granby Street, the private alley, and the open space at the corner of Granby Street and Bay State Road will improve the appearance and setting of this area of the district and will bring activity and vitality to this now underutilized area. So I guess if the commissioners agree with that, we could make a motion to support this as presented
and
or discussion.
Just to be clear, what's in our purview is the wedge of additional building
mm-hmm.
and
the overhang.
Overhangs, the Granby Street Park.
Yes, yes.
And the changes to the alley.
Correct, yes.
Within us, right?
Yes.
Yes, yep. And if there's public comment, we can ask.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're all set?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I make a motion to support the project.
Seconded. All in favor? All of us? Wonderful. Great. Thank you. Thanks for a wonderful presentation.
Hope makes you consider.
Very exciting. It's amazing.
It's great to have images of what's there now and what's coming. We don't always get that. It really makes such a difference in these, in terms of our understanding, really very helpful.
BU always does a great job. I mean, they're so thorough.
Yeah, consistently.
Yep. Wonderful.
That was Paul, because we did the renderings, then Paul went and took the photos to try to match our views.
Well, and also drawing a line of the district.
So whatever it is, it works.
So they're not a perfect match.
No.
But they're close.
But they're close.
I am so disappointed that I couldn't find an old picture of the Gulf gas station that was there.
Yeah.
Or the Peter Pan diner.
Or the Peter Pan, you can kind of, it's just not.
No, there is a picture of the Peter Pan.
Not a good one.
Not a good, yeah.
There were lots of images of the Burger King.
Yeah.
That's right.
Backstreet.
It was a drive-thru in the city.
Walter and Sewell.
Just like the one on Boylston Street, the McDonald's and the Burger King.
Which was Sewell, which wall?
So the wall that creates Backstreet has a, something like a 3-foot cap to it. But if you look right along the base, right where the bituminous is, you can see the granite slabs. And it's those granite slabs that created, that held back the fill of the back bay.
Is that right?
We ran into it when we were renovating the old Hillel, the admission center. And that wall.
That's right on Star Drive, right?
Right on Star, it's the abutting wall between Backstreet and Star Drive.
Gosh.
And I was able to find some old maps of how this space was laid out. It's fascinating that in this block, on Bay State Road, it's 170, 168, 170, there's a gap. There was never a building built there. I've got something from 1928 that does not show a footprint on that, and the other places had buildings. Where Hillel is today, the Archdiocese had two buildings. And I was told in the mid-70s, they did their broadcasting from there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a fire that destroyed it and became a plaza, a park, then became Hillel.
Hillel, yeah.
You can tell I enjoy.
Yeah. It's fascinating, just like the pictures you had of Shelton Hall, you know, right to the river. I mean, it's amazing. Or as Dr. Silva said, he used to have riverfront property all up and down Bay State Road.
Yes, you've seen it all, Paul.
Yep.
I'm an old timer.
More to come, though, right?
I've been around.
That's right. But you're making the transition very well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Tom, nice to see you.
Pam, do you want to just adjourn the meeting?
Oh, I'm sorry. Anybody, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion.
All right, second, good.
Thank you.
All in favor of adjourned? Good. Thank you.
Thank you.